Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Josh from AtScale. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to be here. Are you here local, or are you from?
I flew up from the Bay Area this morning.
The Bay Area, okay, awesome. Just there for Build, awesome. Okay, so why don't you take a second and introduce yourself first before we get started?
So yeah, I'm Josh Klar. I run product management for AtScale.
Okay.
We're a startup. We started around 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we're doing at AtScale is based on some of the experiences we had at Yahoo, where Dave Mariani, who's our CEO, he and I ran our central data group,
okay,
which was one half big Hadoop operations and the other half a big BI operation.
Oh, okay, cool. So this is a combination of
it's everything
all
that we
learned.
Cool
stuff. Yes. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Okay, so give us a quick background. Let's build the foundation of what we're going to talk about. What is AtScale?
Yeah, so the idea behind AtScale started kind of with this idea of the Hadoop data lake.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's becoming more and more of a kind of a standard practice in enterprise.
Yeah.
When we were at Yahoo, we had one of the first Hadoop data lakes, or maybe the first Hadoop data lake. We had all of our ads data, all of our audience data. And the challenge we were trying to solve was this one, which is how do we take what was 30 billion events a day,
yeah,
on the advertising side and get it into the hands of BI users.
Okay.
That was really the problem we were trying to solve.
Yeah, how do I make all this data? And you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, they don't have to learn Hadoop.
Yes.
Right? They don't have to learn Hive. How do I, you know, how do we make get the data to the users quickly and easily in a quick manner, right?
Exactly. And we didn't do that. What we did is we did it in a painful way. We had, yeah, we had ETL, we built data marts. Actually, if you go and look for the biggest SQL Server analysis services cube in the world,
yeah,
you'll find the 24 terabyte OLAP cube that we built it at,
oh,
at Yahoo.
Yeah.
And just maintaining that system was really hard. You're jumping through data through a bunch of different hops. Our agility was a mess. It took 6 months to launch any new attribute.
Yeah.
And so what AtScale is doing is it's removing those layers,
mm-hmm,
and essentially bringing analysis tools directly on top of the Hadoop cluster.
Okay.
We are a service that sits on top of a Hadoop cluster.
Okay.
It could be a standalone, on-premise, Cloudera, or Hortonworks, or MapR cluster. We just launched an integrated package with HD Insight.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it exposes the data that's sitting in your Hadoop cluster, so it looks like a cube, and it behaves like a cube.
So I, as a Power BI user or a BI user, don't have to worry. I don't have to write ETL processes. I don't have to worry about all this hard coding to go get my data. It's just AtScale just says, here's your data, but exposes it in a way that I'm familiar with.
Exactly. That's exactly what we do.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah. I can, if you want, I can show it in practice.
Let's go. Demo time.
We are all
about demo time.
We love demos. So
that's right.
This is probably the first public screening of this particular screen. Ooh. We just launched.
Applause.
Thank you. Yeah. We've been working with the HD Insight team, and we just launched in the Azure Marketplace,
mm-hmm,
last week. A combination of an HD Insight cluster,
mm-hmm,
with AtScale already,
yep,
installed on it.
So if I launch an HD Insight cluster, AtScale's already installed and provisioned and ready for me to just get started.
Exactly. So okay, if you go out to the Azure Marketplace, you search for AtScale,
mm-hmm,
you'll find this little page, you click on the deploy button, and you go through the deploy process, and when you're done, this is our little demo cluster we have up and running.
Okay.
What you've got here is you've got one node that's running the AtScale service. It's connected to a Hadoop cluster. This particular Hadoop cluster is a four node cluster that we,
okay,
spun up, but we just prompt you through the process of what are the credentials, you know, what are the server names.
Yeah, it's almost very similar to, you know, I've spun up an HD Insight cluster. One of the nodes is an AtScale.
That's exactly
node,
what it is. It's just like one extra blade.
Yep.
It's one extra blade.
Yep.
As part of that process, you map it to your blob storage. What we've done, at least for the AtScale service we bring up, is there are some sample data that,
mm-hmm,
that ships with HD Insight.
Yeah.
We plug into that. So I've actually, let's see, I'll bring up my command line here. This is actually looking at that HD Insight cluster, and I've got the default database in it.
Okay.
And that default database has in it a Hive sample table, which has some app data. So
okay,
this is just the sample data that ships with HDI, It's a Hive warehouse on top of it, and that's where, in the old world, this is what you would have to connect to. Right? Yeah. You log in, you start browsing around this data, you try to make sense of it.
Right.
I think this particular set of sample data is maybe tens of thousands of rows.
Right.
The customers are working with it at scale. 480 billion rows of data on a 400 node cluster.
Yeah.
So at some point it gets kind of unwieldy to consume that data.
Right. Yeah.
But once that's there, the other thing that launches as part of your cluster is the at scale server.
Yep.
So this is the at scale application running on top of that HD Insight cluster that I deployed. And so I can just, I'll walk you through.
Absolutely, let's go. So at this point, so we've spun up an HD Insight cluster with at scale running on one of the nodes. So nothing out of the ordinary there, because if you spun up an HD Insight cluster, like you said, it's just an extra blade to say, how do I configure the at scale component? At this point, how do I get into the UI for the at scale piece?
Yeah, it's just a web application, I think. Let's see, I think when I click on this, does it have for me the URL? Somewhere in here, I think it shows me what the URL is.
Yeah.
But you just launch it, it's essentially...
That's not it.
Is it that guy? It's that public IP address, and it's the port for our design center, which is 10500. So you have to open up that port, and then you can access the app via web browser.
Perfect.
In fact, we just did... Just before we launched this publicly, we did our first POC with an existing Microsoft HD Insight customer.
Mm-hmm.
We brought the data up. They loaded their raw transactional data into WASB storage. We built a Hive warehouse. We built our first cube. We POC'd it to the customer, and we showed them live reports on top of their data. Yeah. We did that all in 2 days.
Wow.
We closed the deal by the end of the week.
Nice.
And then it was a joint win because the customer was evaluating, do they want to invest in HD Insight to serve some BI use cases? And at scale plus HD Insight together was really, it was the package that they wanted.
So had they not had, not at scale, or either, what would have been the time? You did it in 2 days.
Well, what they were struggling with today, they're using Tableau as their front end BI tool, and they had an in-house SQL Server stack that was having some challenges scaling.
Right.
So what they were wanting to do was move all of the data to Hadoop, but the way they were going to solve their Tableau visualization problem was generate Tableau data extracts, which they really don't want to do. They want a live connection to the data. They don't want to move data off the cluster.
Real time.
They wanted real time, and they just didn't want the overhead of moving all this data in and out.
Yep.
They wanted, I'm going to put my transactional data onto Azure storage, and I want a service on top of it that can give me a BI interface.
Right.
So that was it was a great win.
Cool.
It was great that it worked.
Love it.
So I've logged in here. This is what you'll see. I've already run a few reports, so you get some numbers, but everything will say zero when you log in the first time and you bring up a cluster.
If it says more than zero, there's a problem,
Exactly, someone's been logged into your server. And we have this standard Azure sample that we ship with. So we ship with this thing that is a sample cube.
Mm-hmm.
And a cube in at scale is a virtual concept. Okay. What we start with is we start by going and looking at your Hive warehouse. In this case, if you remember, there is that Hive sample table.
Yep.
There it is right there.
Okay.
You can browse those tables. I've brought this table onto my canvas. I can look at that data. Here's that exact same data I just showed you with command line, but here it is in a slightly prettier form. And then once you have your data sets on the canvas, you can start building the concepts that are part of your cube. And so a cube in at scale, it's very, I think the people who are watching the show are familiar with cubes and OLAP, and it looks very much like a standard cube.
Well, and that's a good question, because I was just thinking that. How much of a analysis services cube OLAP background do you have to have to be able to be familiar with and use at scale?
If you have that background, you'll love at scale.
Okay.
Because the people that founded the company we love analysis services.
Right.
We love the product. We love the interface that it exposes. What we struggled with was the scale factor.
Yep.
How can you scale it out? So if you're familiar with analysis services, you'll really like AtScale. If you're not, it's really, really simple.
Okay.
I can actually show you from scratch what the process looks like. So here's a pre-built one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go and I create a new cube, I can call this my, actually let's call it channel 9. Call it a channel 9 cube. I get a blank canvas.
Yep.
I can go and bring in that
default table.
Default table. And then the process of starting to build out my cube is, if you see over here, I have dimensions and measures.
Yep.
This is what a BI user wants to see.
Right.
I can find, for example, query dwell time. I can turn it into a measure. I can find device model. I can turn that into a dimension. So it's a really simple drag and drop process of building out the things.
Yeah.
You can view this as it's a very traditional data curation process, which is, and all of our customers think this way.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really wants to set their business user use loose on raw data.
Yep.
They want a data modeler in between. They want a designer or someone who's exposing
the
right stuff. Yeah. And so that's what we've done here.
Okay.
We do introduce a few concepts that are tough to get from flat data. If you remember, this sample data is just a big fat Y table.
Yep.
That's what Hadoop data looks like, log files, big fat Y tables. What we support are the ability to start dimensionalizing even flat tables. We don't assert that you need to have a star schema. You don't need to have a snowflake schema. Here I've got flat tables, but what I've built around it are hierarchies.
Right.
So I've taken flat tables and I've created a hierarchy on top of it. Okay. Even though it's all within one table, it starts to look like a cube to the end user.
Okay, and so at this point, people that are familiar with this go, yeah, it should be very easy for me to. And what was interesting is that, I can't remember his name, sent me some links to some videos, and and I watched a little bit of those, and it's like, oh, this looks really, really familiar, right?
It looks really familiar. Yeah. And in fact, like I said, the people that know analysis services really like this. A lot of our customers, their buying motion is, I'm looking for a scale out analysis services.
Well, and that's the beauty of, we haven't touched on that much. We're looking for, the scale piece of AtScale, right? Because it sits on top of Hadoop, right? Highly scalable.
Yes,
right.
And that's really, that was the, one of the principles behind AtScale is we want to scale with Hadoop.
Yep.
We use Hadoop to deliver our scalability. I haven't talked much about the architecture.
Yeah.
But the way you can view AtScale is, what I've created here is a completely virtual concept.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't pre-processed any data. What I've done is I've told the AtScale engine, this, if I go to my little preview here, this is the interface that I want to expose to a BI tool.
Yep. Okay.
Whether it's Tableau, whether it's Power BI, whether it's Excel, I want them to see this view of the world.
Yeah, this just presents, how do you want to display and make the data available? In what schema do you want to make it available to your end users?
Exactly. Right. And we expose it, I've designed my little cube here.
Yep.
I want it to be consumed. There, we have a process called publishing, which takes this semantic model and publishes it out to the AtScale server. And at this point, AtScale starts exposing this cube in two ways. You can connect to us using SQL mode, and we look like a Hive server. So you can use the Hortonworks or the Microsoft or the Cloudera Hive ODBC driver and connect to that cube. When you connect to us, we look like a big fat wide table.
Oh, okay.
With, I don't know how many attributes, there were maybe 15 columns in it. We look like a 15 column table, and you can write SQL queries against that table. We also expose as an XMLA provider. So we look like an MDX cube.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So what this means is if I go into, let's go to Excel, which I'm running on my virtual machine here. And in Excel, I can go and I say I want to connect to analysis services. Let me just go and get my snippet. So this is the AtScale, this is the AtScale XMLA provider.
Okay.
This is the AtScale service and the port for our XMLA provider. So I can take that and I can log in here. The other thing we do is we've spent a lot of time focusing on security because Hadoop security is pretty crude.
Mm-hmm.
For BI, you need kind of much finer grain level of security.
Yep.
And so here's those cubes. Here's that AtScale on HDI demo cube.
Okay.
I can connect to that cube and I can go and bring it in here to Excel. And at this point, I'm working with Hadoop data directly from Excel with a live connection as if it was a live pivot table. Let me just expand over here. And so now I can look at query dwell time. I've got my device hierarchy, so I can expand that and look at device platform. And I can drill down, say, you know, within NAS, whoop, put that in the filters. Let's put it in the row labels. And I can go and expand down and look at Windows Phone, for example.
Right.
So this is, for the Excel user, a really nice interface. I've got my pivot table components over here. But what's happening on the back end, if I go back into at scale, I'll show you a little bit of the mechanism that's happening underneath.
Right, okay, cool.
We have this concept of an inbound query.
Mm-hmm.
This is the query that Excel sent to the at-scale engine.
Right.
And it's MDX, which I would never want to handwrite.
And
this is the query we push down to at-scale.
Back to, down to at-scale. Okay.
Oh, sorry, back, you're right, back to the Hadoop cluster.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, what you'll see here is this query actually did not hit that Hive sample table. It hit an aggregate table. So the way that at-scale is a relational OLAP engine. We're okay. Not a multi-dimensional OLAP engine. The way we deliver performance is that based on end-user query patterns, we develop a series of aggregates. These aggregate tables are written back to the Hadoop cluster as Hive tables. In this case, they're in Parquet format.
So it essentially takes the structure that you created, the scheme that you created, and creates an aggregate table. So I'm essentially creating a, what would you call it?
We call it our adaptive cache.
Okay. We'll call it that.
Good branding name, right?
There you go.
So you're creating a cached. Now it's not a naive complete intersection of everything.
Right.
Because that with big data scale, that gets really expensive.
Right.
If you have 2 billion unique cookies a month and you have a cookie dimension like we had at Yahoo, that's gonna be a freaking big table.
Right.
If you try to pre-aggregate everything. So our adaptive cache actually consists of multiple smaller aggregate tables that in their essence altogether make up the cube. And what we do at query time is we try to figure out what's the smartest aggregate table for us to go hit in order to deliver performance.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it's...
And how do you determine, how do you build those aggregate tables? I mean, is it just your, based on the data, you're saying, okay, we...
Yes.
They might want these, you know, they might want this type of, you know, this data, so we're going to create a table, aggregate table on that, or they might want this data return, so we're going to create an aggregate table on that?
Yes. Yeah, so what we do is we look at query patterns.
Yep.
And based on the attributes that are included in those query patterns, we start to build out the aggregate tables. And we have some heuristics. We try to figure out, does it make sense to build an aggregate table? Will this query be faster the next time around if I build a new aggregate table or not? And so we have some rules in the system that actually look at what do we think the speed up is from creating a new table versus using an existing one.
So your aggregate tables could change over time.
They change over time, and we manage. Again, if you taking this back to Yahoo, we had a team of developers that did this for us manually. Right. They basically looked at query logs. They figured out what are the common queries, which are the ones that aren't performing, and they would write pig scripts to build these ags for us, which we would load into a data mart.
Okay.
So we're kind of taking that and trying to automate it.
Right.
And then there's a lifecycle management. Okay, an aggregate hasn't been used, but it's expensive to produce. Let's get rid of that one because it's a waste of resources on the cluster.
Okay, cool. That makes sense because that improves performance. So I'm just gonna, you know, I'm not taking a query and executing that query every time. It's just
exactly.
I'm gonna hit this query, you know, this aggregate table that return all the data that I'm looking for.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it ends up being the two things that we're delivering to our customers. One is that interface.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you a really simple example.
Yeah.
The POC that I told you about, our first HD Insight plus at-scale POC, we were given around 50 tables to work with. And that was really difficult to consume. So, and we made one cube out of it. So one thing is that simple interface. It's a business user friendly interface that can be consumed by essentially every BI tool in the world.
Yep.
Because everything talks SQL and everything talks MDX. Those are the two languages. Right. And then the other thing is the speed up.
Okay.
We're leveraging the SQL on Hadoop engines underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular instance, we're using Spark SQL to do the interactive queries.
Yep.
And we're using Hive as the batch query engine to build the ags.
Okay.
And this is a strategic decision we made, which is we don't want to get into the business of building yet another query processing engine.
Yep.
We think the guys at Spark and Databricks and Hortonworks and Cloudera are doing a good job of building SQL engines.
Yeah, why recreate the wheel?
Exactly.
Let's just hand off the query to them and let them do the processing, and we'll just sit on top of that, right?
Exactly. That's right. Exactly right.
Okay. So at this point, really at this point, you're just saying, hey, we're going to provide the ability for the Power BI user to hit just like you do, just a dimension table, right?
Yeah.
So you define what that that looks like, and then I'm a BI user. I just pull up Tableau or Excel or whatever and connect to my connect to the analysis.
The XMLA provider.
Yep,
yeah.
And we're done.
Yeah, here's Power BI. Here's Power BI connected to us in SQL mode.
Okay.
So I ran a SQL query against the at-scale table. I brought in all of those same attributes over here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I built myself a little interactive dashboard in Power BI.
Oh, sweet.
And so this is the kind of the hidden thing with at-scale, because a lot of customers, they start with a particular use case. It's, I want to connect Excel. I've got all my analysts using Excel, and I need to access right. Hadoop data. But once they've created that at-scale cube, you can start bringing in basically any tool you want. So you've got your Power users who are building dashboards in Power BI.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your business analysts who are using Excel to build models. You know, maybe you're using some open source at one of our customers, American Express, who is a big Excel user. They use Jasper Reports.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
To build picture perfect, like when they walk into the Monday meeting, they got to put down a stack of papers. They use Jasper Reports for that. But it's all off the exact same semantic layer.
Right.
And this means that all of your BI tools are getting the exact same answer.
Okay.
And they're benefiting from the exact same cache. So it's pushing that semantic layer away from the BI tool layer and down to the data layer.
Yeah. Because you don't have three different groups writing three different queries. I'm hitting aggregate tables and hitting the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the hidden cost of these big BI organizations. At Yahoo, my guess is we spent 30% of our time explaining why the reports coming from MicroStrategy were different than the reports coming from the analysis services cube. And it's just because there was different business logic.
Yeah.
But that's all we did is, okay, yes, I'll have to explain it again. Here's why they're different.
That's so fun.
So yeah, this single semantic layer thing ends up being a really big deal.
Oh, yeah. And realistically, I'm a BI user. The same person that's going to be pulling up Excel or Tableau aren't really going to be the same people writing, you know, pulling up at scale and writing the, right?
Right.
So you've got the people that know what they're doing with the analysis service going, here's how you put the cube together.
Here's the way it works.
Here's the way it works, right? And then I got just pulling the data and making it easy for me to get access to that data.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's cool. All right. You said this is available as of last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you go out and on Azure search for at scale, you'll bring up that that deployment screen.
Yep.
The first thing you'll need to do is contact us for a license key.
Yep.
And then once you have that, you can bring up your own cluster and have at it.
Awesome. And if they have questions, if the viewers have questions about, you know, can we point them to those any of the videos for how this works?
Yeah, I think the easiest place to go is ask a website where we've got a bunch of videos. We have a getting started guide, which walks you through the process of getting up. I'm josh@atscale.com. I don't know if I should say that.
So Josh is going to answer all your questions. No, what we'll do is in the description of the show, we'll put some links in there that they can, right? But then, you know, if you have any deeper questions, I guess, there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You got straight out of the horse's mouth.
Well, Josh, that was wonderful. This is fantastic. I think this fields a huge need, like as you saw, right? As you explained, this fills a huge need for how do I get data quickly and easily and at scale without having to say I'm going to write this data query and this query and, you know, I want the same results every time.
Yep, and fast.
And fast.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Okay, awesome. Josh, thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
For having me.
What we should do at some point, you know, because we can do a show over Skype. Maybe we'll have to do a Skype where you can actually, we can drill down, look at the architecture, and maybe do a little deeper demo.
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
We'd love to do it.
Okay.
All right.
Josh, thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, everybody, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.